It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
8:07 on a Saturday morning, 44 degrees outside. This is Lawn and Garden, my friends. If you have a question about anything in your landscape, flowers, weeds, weird things that you see, you want to know what it is, give me a call, 404-872-0750. Sean, I've been waiting so long to talk to you, and here you finally are on the air. What do you want to plant, Sean? Tell me about this California walnut.
Yeah, it's a Claro walnut. I got about three of them from a nursery in California. Okay. My brother-in-law is a carpenter. He told me about them. So I'm going to plant them for him. But I'm worried that I'm planting them too late. And also, I go to your website for advice on planting things that don't necessarily belong here in Georgia.
Right.
And I want to know if you had any advice in that regard as well.
So your brother wants to use the wood, right, for his carpentry woodworking work?
Yeah, my brother-in-law, yeah.
So is he a real patient person, Sean? I don't know that we're going to get a lot of woodworking wood off this tree in the next 4 or 5 years.
He's a very patient person. Yeah, they bought a house, and he's been working on it for a couple of years, and he's got a couple walnuts that he's going to let grow for, 30 years. He's a very patient man. Good. Yeah.
My mother and your brother-in-law are the same. My mother planted two or three black walnuts when we were 5, 6, 7 years old, perhaps, there at the farm in Inman. And when I was 30 or 40 years old, they were finally about big enough to take and get a little bit of lumber off of them. So California walnut or Claro walnut are black walnuts. There can be a couple of, it's not really clear which they are. You have English walnuts grafted to black walnut rootstock. You have just regular black walnuts that are sometimes called Claro walnut. I think they would grow here fine, particularly if it has black walnut in the roots of that plant, because we know black walnut does fine in Georgia. If it's English walnut grafted to black walnut, I think that would probably do fine too.
Yeah, these are like they're the California black walnut. They're like a special subspecies of California black walnut.
Euglans heinzii or Californica, one of those. Nonetheless, I think it's worth a try. I think you should do it.
Cool.
I don't know if you heard me about an hour ago on the show, Sean, but I talked about when you plant a tree or a shrub, make sure of two things. One, make sure the flare root is right there at the surface when you plant it. And number two, the roots are all spread out in all directions. So those two things are critical for trees and for your walnut as well.
And then any, keep it real well watered or?
I think you basically use your eyeballs to determine that. If the tree needs watering, the leaves will wilt just a little bit. Don't leave it for 3 weeks while you go to Disneyland or something. But keep your eye on it during the summertime. You won't need to water now, of course, because it's raining pretty regularly in the spring. But because it's a little late, normally we'd plant trees in the fall. But if you keep your eye on the leaves and water when it seems to need water, I think you'll be successful in 20, 30 years from now, Sean. Call me back. Let me know how it works out.
I will. Thank you.
I will hope that I'm not on the radio show in 20 or 30 years, but if I am, give me a buzz.
I hope you are.
Thanks for calling, Sean. We'll see you soon.
Goodbye.
Of course, this year I celebrated 25 years. I didn't think I was going to be on the radio for 5 years, much less 25 years. Come on. Well, there you go. Sometimes you don't know what you're doing. Linda in Lilburn joins us. Hey, Linda, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I have a question about my rising sun and the black gum tree.
Okay.
The rising sun, both of these trees I planted after Irma took down my only tree in the backyard.
Okay.
And I didn't plant them where that tree was, but they're off to the side. The rising sun came up last year, and it had beautiful little blooms on it. This year, but the leaves kind of look scraggly in the summer.
Okay.
So this spring, it's come up. The leaves are, I didn't see that many flowers, but the leaves have come out on the bottom group of limbs.
Yeah.
The center group of limbs have nothing, and the top of the tree has leaves. So it's like the middle of the tree is bare.
That's weird. Okay.
Yeah, and I read that you're not supposed to cut those off until the fall, maybe hoping that something will come out later.
Yeah, but if it hadn't come out by now, Ann, middle of April, I don't think anything's going to come out on those bare limbs. Nonetheless, so it doesn't hurt you to leave them on if you want to leave them on for a couple more months. It's fine to do that and cut them off whenever you want to.
I have the same problem with the black gum, only it has limbs that are leafed out beautifully at the bottom, but like the top foot and a half is, these are both about 5-6 feet tall.
Yeah.
It has nothing. So I'm just striking out with my new tree.
Yeah, something interfered with water when they were younger than they are right now. I don't know what it was, but again, I would leave it on until you decide that you're for sure there's nothing going to come from the limbs in the middle of the red bud or the top of the black gum, and just cut them off then when you decide it's time to do it.
Well, the black gum, there's one little limb that kind of points to the sky. The rest of them are just horizontal.
That little limb that points to the sky that has leaves on it, it will become the new trunk for the black gum.
Yeah.
That's what limbs do. They want to have a central trunk. They'll establish what's called apical dominance. The bud that points to the sky will start signaling the rest of the tree of how it wants the limbs arranged on it, and then it'll grow. Sure it will.
With leaves that are horizontal, they're very long. They're almost, if I raised them up, they would be taller than the tree. Should I trim them back a little bit? Or just leave them?
While it's recovering right now, I think I would leave it alone, at least until the fall. If you want to do a little trimming in the fall when the leaves have fallen off of it in November, let's say, I wouldn't argue with them. But right now, I sort of want some photosynthesis going on with the tree to recover and get that central bud going tall and straight. So I think I'd leave the leaves on for at least the first growing season this year.
So basically leave them alone.
Yeah.
I have one more question.
All right, real quick, though.
This is an evergreen dogwood.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was supposed to be a tree, but this thing has like three trunks and then it's got more limbs coming out. It's growing great, but it's just almost looks like a bush instead of a tree.
It is a bush. You think dogwoods are big trees, but sad to say, red twig, yellow twig, evergreen dogwoods, they're all bushy type dogwoods.
Well, that's okay. I just didn't know if I needed to cut those off or not.
Now enjoy it where it is. What nature made, that's what it wants to be.
All righty.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks for calling, Linda. Jacob is down in Lake Oconee, I should say, east of Atlanta. Hey, Jacob, good morning.
And good morning, Walter. Thank you for everything you do.
Sure.
I've been a listener for a long time, first-time caller, and with all of your advice has been helped me to be very successful in some things. But
I'm happy
something
to do
new.
It. What you need to do? What do you fertilize? You got a garden going on, Jacob?
Yes, and first time planting Silver Queen sweet corn.
Sure.
And followed your directions about how far apart to put it and how deep in the soil. I'm just curious as to when to fertilize it and with what. And because there's an option for horse manure, cow manure, chicken manure, and then, of course, all the different kinds of fertilizer.
Has it sprouted? Is it above ground now?
It is not. It just actually went into the ground 3 days ago.
Okay. We wait until, did you put any fertilizer or lime or anything out that beforehand?
There's been lime in the soil in the past, but not with it.
Okay. No big deal then. We wait until the foliage is out of the ground about a foot, let's say. And at that point, you'll fertilize it lightly with, on the farm, we'd use 10-10-10, but you can use the horse, chicken, whatever animal manure you have. Except the biggest thing to remember with them is I want to water them in because the nutrients that are in the manures don't settle into the soil as quickly as 10-10-10 would. So water them in. If you spread them alongside the corn plants when they're a foot tall, give them a little water to sort of wash some nutrients out. Or if you use 10-10-10, water it in initially and then don't worry about it after that. Nature will take its course. When the corn gets to be, let's see, about a foot high, let's take it up to the middle of my thigh, when it gets to be about 3 feet tall, another fertilization. All these are called side dressings. If you want to really feel like a farmer, Jacob, you say, I need to side dress my corn today. Everybody will say, really? I didn't know you had anything to do with the, you know, transgendered folks or transgendered corn for that matter. But nonetheless, you side dress your corn when it's about 3 feet tall. And the amount to use is about, let me think, on corn for 10-10-10 anyway, it is a pound per 10 linear feet. Look, you're looking on my website anyway. Look what it says on there for fertilizing corn. But I think it's a 10 pounds per 1,000 or a pound per 100, something like that. Look it up. Look it up, Jacob. Okay. You can see there on my website what it says about fertilizing the corn. But the time to do it is when it's a foot high, when it's thigh high, and then when it's about neck to head high, when it's about got corn ears that are developing on it, one more time then. And after okay. that, no more fertilizing needed. So you side dress it two or usually three times.
Okay, great. And nothing until it's about a foot high.
No, right. It doesn't need anything. For the okay. time from a seed to a foot high, it's using the nutrients that were stored in the leaves, or in the seed, I should say, the seeds of the corn plant.
Okay, great. Thank you, all Walter. Right. And just because I've talked to you, I'm sure it's going to turn out great.
I'm sure it will, Jacob. Thanks for calling. We'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
404-872-0750 is my number. We'll be back after this.
This is Scott Slade from Atlanta's Morning News on WSB. Our 24-hour news center delivers updates all weekend. Depend on it. We'll be here Monday morning, 4:30 till 9, for breaking news and traffic and weather every 6 minutes. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves.
Hold on to me. Let me go. Who cares what they see? Who cares what they know? Your first name is free, last name is dumb. But you still believe in where we're from. Man's white flower.
It's an excellent thing. Jason B bringing us the best garden show on the planet in the universe this Saturday morning. And a quick weather update brought to you by Finley Roofing. Today's spotty light showers, high of 56, low of 44, mostly cloudy throughout the day. Tomorrow, sunny, high of 72, low of 49. Your full weekend forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Steve's at Marietta and joins us on Lawn and Garden. Hey, Steve, good morning.
Morning, Walter. Good to talk to you again.
Sure, Steve. What's up?
Okay, so I've got several areas of ground cover in my yard, like the Dwarf Mondo and the Cream Genie, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And every spring, I get just the overgrowth of weeds that come up through them. Okay. So I tried the last couple of years of putting a pre-emergent down to see if that would help me, as it would in a lawn.
Yeah.
It hasn't been too successful. And now I'm wondering, is there a difference between the pre-emergent that you would put on your lawn versus one that you would use for areas like ground covers, you know, halts versus preen, in other words? Yeah.
Sometimes there is, but many times it's based on the physical characteristics of the chemical and the product more than whether it does or does not prevent weed seeds from germinating, as a pre-emergent is supposed to do. There are a couple of products that were at one time used for lawn pre-emergents that turned out they just evaporated too fast from the lawn. And so they changed the label to being a landscape pre-emergent, and for whatever reason felt like they'd do better in a landscape situation. So I guess really, truly, to answer your question directly, you got to read the label. Don't take my word for anything. Read the label. If it says this pre-emergent is awesome for landscape beds, use it. If it says it can be on landscape beds and lawns, then you can use it both places. And if it says just lawns, then better to use it on a lawn and not amongst your broadleaf plants, because some chemicals can indeed hurt broadleaf plants, like would be in your landscape, and wouldn't hurt a grass, like would be in your lawn. So that's why the label is so important.
I'm really going to have to read the label and do my homework.
I know it's hard, but somehow get your eyeglasses out there, Steve. Read that label. It's really important. The main thing that the label tells sometimes is how big is your lawn? And a lot of people, Steve, have no clue how big their lawn is. They say, oh, 1,000 square feet, 10,000. I'm not really sure. I'll take a bag. It's pre-emergent. Put it out. Know how big your lawn or your landscape area is before you put the chemical out, because that means that you put the right amount out that will not hurt the plants you have. always really important to read that label and follow it just like it says. Don't put too much, don't put too little. It's 8:27 at News Talk WSB. We will be back after news.
Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
836, 44 degrees outside. This is Lawn and Garden. I'm Walter Reeves, the Georgia Gardener, here to help you be more successful than whatever you do in the garden, in the landscape. If you have a problem, you can give me a call, 404-872-0750. One of the ways that I get successful in my landscape, I hang out with people smarter than me, one of whom includes Mickey Gasaway from Pike Nursery. Hi, Mickey. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, but I'm worried.
Why?
Because I took the advice of a certain good friend of mine who works for Pike Nursery, and she said the time to plant your tomatoes is after tax day. And so I went to my local Pike Nursery and bought my tomatoes and planted them after tax day, and it's 44 degrees outside
right now. It's not going to hurt anything. They're fine.
Oh, good.
They're fine. They're
so
fine.
Even though they're knocking on my door this morning saying, let us in, it's cold out here.
Okay. My daddy said it was okay, so it's all right.
All right, your daddy
pay
said
your taxes
then.
And then plant your tomatoes. Okay.
All right. In that case, I'm not worried about anything. I'm worried about what is the Pike pick of the weekend, though. That's for sure.
And this week, it is gardenias.
Oh, what a southern plant. What a great
plant. Oh, I know. I love them. I love them. Have you ever heard them called Cape Jasmine?
Not until I started doing the job that I do now. It's gardenia. Come on, everybody knows what a gardenia is.
My daddy always called them were Cape Jasmine, and I had never heard it. And then, like you, I've heard it more recently.
Where was he from, Mickey?
He's from Atlanta. He was born and raised in Atlanta.
Yeah, I sort of think of Cape Jasmine as being a word that people in Florida or Louisiana maybe would use, but not my folks. Yes. My people did not use Cape Jasmine. They said gardenia.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, maybe they were more learned.
Get Mama that gardenia flower, bring it over here and put it in a saucer so we can smell it. That's what
so
we did.
So smell good. That's
yeah,
right.
That's right. And there are so many. There are different gardenias and different sizes, different forms and habits and things. And I think that makes it a plant you can really enjoy for a long time, not only for the flowers, which smell great, of course. But,
oh, yeah. And there's some, and we've got a series now that's called the Swan Series that are reblooming ones. And so they rebloom, you know, from spring till all through summer.
Right,
so that's
so
a great one, too, and all different sizes and everything. And do you know something, Walter, that I didn't notice until over the last, well, it seemed 15 years, seems like not long anymore, but the ones that had the little hips on them, I never saw that
the
before.
Seed pies, red seed pies. Yeah, they're cool.
So pretty.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's just the single ones that have those. Is that right?
That's I don't sort of know, what but I've observed. I know that the people, excuse me, that Michael Durr from UGA was doing some breeding work selecting gardenias for exactly that, for pretty hips, the red seed pies that come after the flower, because he said this is a potential selling point for something to color in a shrub after it's flowered.
Well,
so,
I love looking
know.
At them in the fall, and you know, that's something to look for. But what I have noticed when I first saw it was on the ones like the Climbs Hardy and some of those that were single, and that's what I've noticed.
Maybe that's what it is.
So there.
Well, if listeners look at your gardenia after they flowered this summer, and see if you have some of these little red hips. They're unique looking. They look like a little red oblong football with little tendrils sticking at the end of it, about an inch or two long.
But we've got so many pretty gardenias at Pike's now. They're just beautiful, and all of them are pretty. You know that from the old-fashioned big August beauty to all the new ones, and we've got lots of new ones, too.
And how long are they guaranteed?
They're guaranteed forever.
Forever, that's right. One of the greatest things about Pike Nursery is that lifetime guarantee. And if you don't want to dig the hole, they'll dig it for you. They'll come out and design your landscape and plant these things for you. You don't have to worry about it. They'll do it for you. Do it the right way.
And they do a really good job. They really do.
Is it true that if a plant dies, they'll come and dig it back up and replant it with another
plant? They will. They certainly will within a year.
Oh, okay.
And they rarely ever die because they do such a good job.
I guess
that's,
you don't want to come back, so you make sure you do it right the first time.
That's
So to summarize, basically, gardenias on sale, all the varieties and species of gardenia on sale this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, I guess, 20% mm-hmm. off all Pike Nursery locations.
You got it.
So how's the ladybug season going, Mickey?
Ladybug is next weekend, and that's something that we just love. It is so much fun for the adults and for the kids. We really, really have fun. And we do a class next weekend at all the Pikes on beneficial bugs, uh-huh. that all bugs are not bad bugs. We know ladybugs are good, but there are lots of other good ones. So that's going to be next Saturday, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're having the ladybug weekend and giving away ladybugs.
So how many do you get, and how many can you take, and what's the story on that?
I forgot how many. I think, is it 500? Maybe not that many. Maybe 150. Maybe 150. They're little packs that we give away.
Mm-hmm.
And you take them home, and we tell you how to put them on your plants. And I think they're 150. I think that's right. But don't hold me to that. But I think that's right. But anyway, with a purchase.
Uh-huh.
And you take them home and you put them on your plants, with usually, hopefully, plants that have got aphids or something on them.
So they'll stick around,
and you,
yeah.
Wet the plant down and you put them down in there late in the afternoon. It's the best time to do it. And they'll take care of the aphids for you.
Sure. Well, so let's summarize that, too. The Ladybug Weekend, Lady Beetle Weekend, that's next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You get with a purchase with a little packet of 100 or so ladybugs to take home and put in your garden. The beneficial insects class is next Saturday, I think, at all Pike Nursery locations as well. Gardenias this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, on sale, 20% off. Tell the cashier this is the Pike Pick of the Weekend. Is there anything else we need to cover?
No, I think so. I think you got it. Do you have that all written down?
No, I do.
Oh,
no.
You just
yes,
remembered.
I have it written down. Of course I have it written down. I make sure.
It's going to be a fun weekend, this weekend and next weekend.
It's a great day to go shop today, plant tomorrow. Great time to do it. The ground is soft. The ground is wet. This is a good time to put annuals, trees, shrubs, whatever you want to plant. Pike Nursery's got it, and they'll make sure you have success with doing it. Well, it's great talking to you, Mickey. I will look forward to seeing you next Saturday.
You forgot to ask me something.
What did I say? Let me think. What was it? Mickey, if I wanted to find a local Pike Nursery, where would I go to find it?
PikeNursery.com.
Indeed, I would. See you next Saturday.
See you later. Bye.
Bye. 404-872-0750 is the number. Ann and Wine has been waiting so very patiently, and now she's finally on the air. Hey, Ann, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you very much. I have questions about the tray plants that you buy in the big stores
now. Oh,
yes,
sure. Okay.
Particularly, I love begonias, impatiens, and geraniums. And then I also want to know about tomatoes and peppers. And Ms. Gasaway might have just answered that question.
Okay.
Is it okay to go ahead and put those plants out in the ground?
Yes, it is. As long as I think nighttime temperatures are 40 or above, I know we talked to each other about 44 degrees today.
Okay.
But as long as the ground is warming up, they'll be a little slower than if the ground was 60 degrees, let's say today. But it's safe to put them out now. Yes, you can go buy the plants, put them in the ground. They'll wait a few days until the soil warms up a little bit, and then they will start growing. Yes.
Okay. One more. If I buy a flowering plant like a gardenia and a camellia, and there's flowers on it now, if I put it out, those will go away. But will it come back this season, or is that if I put it in the ground now, is that a next season thing?
That's probably a next season thing. Gardenias, as we discussed just now, they have different seasons of flowering. Some varieties bloom later, some bloom earlier. So if they've already bloomed this season or blooming right now, as soon as they finish, end of story. No more this year. But she mentioned August Beauty or Klein's Hardy, and those bloom later in the season. So if you got one of them, they wouldn't have any flowers on them now, but would bloom later in the year.
Awesome. The August Beauty of what?
And Klein's Hardy, K-L-E-I-M or N, depending on who's spelling it, Klein's
right.
Or Klein's Hardy.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and have a good day.
Thanks for calling, Ann. It's good to talk to you. Thanks for calling very much. Let's see who's next. Who's been waiting the longest again? Ray in Sandy Springs. Ray, join us on Lawn and Garden. Good morning.
Hello.
Hey, Ray. Good morning.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I had someone plant about 40,000 square feet of zoysia sod about 4 weeks ago.
Okay.
basically on red Georgia clay that we used some fertilizer over because we had to resurface the entire lawn. Uh-huh. I've got now like 1,000 weeds popping up.
All right.
Keep coming. I've watered it initially every day for a week, then they tell me every other day, and we're on the fourth week, so I actually don't need to water it all now with all the rain.
Yeah, sure.
And I've started hand picking a lot. I probably picked out about a couple of hundred of the weeds, but I've got you know, 1,000 more to go. So when I called one of the lawn companies, one of the bigger ones, they said they would not touch it for at least 3 months until the sod got established. Meanwhile, the weeds are just
they're getting ahead of you. You're racing ahead of Ray. Yeah. I think they're right, Ray. Zoysia is a little slower than Bermuda to root, and you don't want anything to interfere with that rooting process. That's eventually your goal is to have pretty looking grass, and you put out 40,000 square feet. That's a lot of grass. You didn't spend a little money on that. You spent a lot of money on it. So weed killers, as just a class of chemicals, do kill weeds. Most of the time, they're selective. They only affect broad-leafed weeds. But they could affect the rooting ability of your zoysia, which is not good for you. So I think 3 months sounds a little long. I would at least give you 2 months of no weed killers until 2 months after you've planted. Make sure it's nicely rooted down. You can't pull it up, can't tug it up. It's rooted into the ground pretty well. And be on the light side with the weed application. If you have a way to sort of measure how much weed killer you put out, be light or use spot sprays or something like that rather than just dumping it all at one time.
Let me ask you this. I'm using my little shovel, which I've sort of sharpened so it'll cut.
Yeah, good idea.
And I cut circumferentially around each one of these little plugs and pull it out. And I'm hoping maybe that I can put some zoysia seed down in those holes
Sure. And
get it to overtake the weeds. Is that a consideration?
How big is the hole? Big as your fist? Big as a silver dollar? How big is your
probably hole? A little bit bigger than a silver dollar each time.
I don't know that you'll need to put any seed in there. Zoysia, even though it spreads slowly, I think it'll fill that hole pretty easily. I might put a little soil in if you took a plug of dirt out of the ground.
Right.
A little soil to level it up. But I don't think you need to put any seed in there because the zoysia, I think, will eventually fill it up without any problem.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. And, Ray, one more thing. You know, we talked about weed killer, and that specifically I'm telling you, don't use weed and feed. If you're going to fertilize, you can fertilize when the zoysia is nicely rooted down in a couple more weeks, but don't use weed and feed. Use a straight turf fertilizer using the label recommendations, of course. And again, a little light on the fertilization too, again, to just make the zoysia happy to be in its new home and look its best in the next year or two.
What do you think of spot spraying with, you know, Roundup or one of the strong weed killers?
Not Roundup, because that'll kill the zoysia, too. A light spot spray with liquid ortho or liquid bioadvanced or liquid bonide, that'll be fine with me. But again, light, don't put a lot of weed killer down if you don't want to inhibit the rooting of the grass. It's 8:49. We'll be back after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves, the lawn and garden advice you need.
A quick weather update brought to you by Findlay Roofing. Spotty light showers some places today. Mostly cloudy, but certainly everywhere. High of 56, low of 44. Tomorrow, sunny. High of 72 and a low of 49. Your full weekend forecast as of in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's been a great Saturday morning today. I got to spend it with Ashley Frasco. Does such a great job screening our calls. Jason Byers did a great job choosing our music and training Lisa Rappaport. Lisa pushed all the buttons correctly this morning so she can continue to come back, and Jason will continue to train her. We mentioned earlier that if you go to my website at walterreeves.com, you can find answers to a lot of the questions that you have that maybe you didn't get a chance to call in this morning, but wanted some more information about how to grow tomatoes or how to grow walnuts or how to grow your zoysia or something like that. One thing that might help you a lot is type the word calendars in the search line. It gives you a calendar of how to care for every grass that you might have. Bermuda, centipede, St. Augustine, the whole line, 9 yards. Calendars at walterreeves.com. You can subscribe to my bi-weekly newsletter there. You can follow me on Pinterest. You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Facebook. Get a lot of things that I post during the week I might not cover on Saturday morning. All that at walterreeves.com. Also, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution tomorrow, Sunday edition. Don't forget that, because I said that twice this morning, and that is all I'm obligated to do. My friends, next Saturday morning, I'll be here. Will you be here? 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock. We always have something fun to talk about, and you can think during the week of what is a good question I could ask Walter next Saturday. It's easy to call in, 404-872-0750. Right now, you'll get Dave Baker. He is in the house with the Home Fix-It Show coming up straight ahead. It's been a great Saturday, as I said, and I will see you next Saturday morning with another edition of Lawn and Garden. I'll see you then.